Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora a solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.
A night that started with him on the bench because he was suspended with CeeDee Lamb for the opening drive. I actually give Brian Schottenheimer credit for that. He disciplined the guy, and then instead of George Pickens going into the tank or sulking or acting like the kind of brooding player he had been here, he feasted on a porous Raiders defense to the tune of 9 catches, 144 yards, and 1 touchdown. Here's the thing. Right? We all change our minds on things. Just because you thought this was a good trade at first doesn't mean you have to think that way now. Just because you thought it was a bad idea to part company with George Pickens doesn't mean you're married to that take for the rest of your life here. He is second right now in receiving yards. The Steelers played Roman Wilson more than any wide receiver not named DK Metcalf. In Sunday's game, they still don't have a number two wide receiver. I don't think George Pickens would be this productive here, but I'm now starting to think that's more of an indictment on the Steelers than it is George, Chris. Like, when you say that, are you really I'm less so calling him out now and more so calling out their offensive philosophy and offensive system. He's starting to coexist with Lamb. When they get in trouble, it seems like they're in cahoots with each other and they're both forced to sit. So it's not like they're at odds with each other. And he's maintained his productivity even with both guys in the lineup. And one thing I see Steelers fans doing to kind of cope with this is, well, what's the Cowboys' record? Okay, my rebuttal to that would be, so what are you saying? Joe Thomas was a bad football player? What did he ever win? His team sucked ass every year. He's probably one of top five offensive tackle of all time. Does anybody say that when ranking him among the best offensive linemen ever? Well, he did play for the Browns. Oh, you're right. Let me rank, you know.
Well, Cabali does.
He does?
Didn't we have this conversation earlier in the year that he thinks Andrew Whitworth was like toe for toe as good as Joe Thomas?
Well, he's wrong, so we can move on.
But it can't be because the Browns teams were bad, right?
I mean, oh, he brings up that point. I mean, Joe Thomas was a better player without both of his arms than Andrew Whitworth was, but that's apparently going
to be. So does Cabali think that the first retired number in Steelers history, Ernie Stotner, must have just sucked because he played for bad teams? I should ask him that. But, hey, Mark, so hold on, let me think.
Sure.
Dan Marino made it to a Super Bowl, but otherwise was just on some good, never great teams. Kind of a bad quarterback or, you know, overrated. What are we doing here?
So are you starting to walk?
No, I'm not.
You still think it was a good trade?
I still think it was a trade they needed to make. I still think it would have been a disaster year here. I still stand by what I said in the moment, which was you've got to deal him because you don't have the infrastructure as far as a quality quarterback that's going to keep him happy and get him the ball enough. He is, I think, the single most. There are two factors here that I think are continually overlooked or not acknowledged by people. One is that Dak Prescott continues to play, by and large, some of the best quarterback in the NFL for a team that is just perpetually awful on defense and needs him usually to try to put up 30 to 40 points to win.
Uh-huh.
He's had a couple like iffy games, don't get me wrong, but yeah, mostly pretty good quarterback play.
Yep.
So I think Pickens, when he knows he's going to get targeted and the guy targeting him can actually get him the ball, is always going to be a more engaged participant. We knew this with the Steelers. The whole thing was they've got to get him the ball early and often to keep him engaged in the game.
Yeah.
The second thing is George Pickens' unhappiness here in a place where the owner never talks, the coach talks once a week, the GM is like forbidden by law from speaking during the season, such that when he like quietly gives like a defense of his work to reporters, it becomes huge news.
Yep.
George Pickens is playing in a huge market where the owner does a weekly radio show and would prefer to be the focus of everyone's attention. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think it's a lot easier, even if you're occasionally getting suspended, for example, like this, for a drive. I think it's a lot easier to just be George Pickens and not have that be the A1 story when Jerry Jones is talking about working on a $100 billion natural gas field or whatever that he just discovered. I really do think that the quarterback and the fact that the owner is who he is and acts how he acts have not enabled, because Pickens is just, he has to do the work still on the field, but they have allowed him to flourish in a way he never would have.
But you are admitting in the way you answered that question that you don't think that getting only a third round pick back in next year's draft was good return for this guy. Right?
No, but I don't think that they were going to be in a position where they could keep him. I don't love the return, but I think they backed themselves into a corner. If somebody wants to argue with me that George Pickens would be having, obviously not this productive of a season, but would be a productive and largely positive member of the Steelers, you're not going to convince me.
Okay, but I'm going to say two things, and I think it's hard for you to dispute or argue or disagree with either one.
How long have you worked with me? It's very easy for me to dispute almost anything.
So let's see if you can do that with these two statements. If George Pickens were still a Steeler, right? DK Metcalf would have better stats through the first 10 games of the season than he does right now. Because he can't get double teamed the way that Aaron Rodgers talks about.
Presumably, he'd have to have somewhat better stats.
And George Pickens would have better stats than Calvin Austin. He would be a much better number two wide receiver
if he hadn't flipped out at this point because they're not protecting Rodgers and the ball's getting out so quick, etc. I think the Cowboys also just have a much better offense. Certainly a better passing offense and a quarterback that is better at running it.
Okay, but that again, that's not George's fault, really.
But I can't separate how I view the trade. Like, yes, when I say that it's when I'm saying that the trade is still a trade I support, even though the return is not what I would like based on how good he's been, it's absolutely an indictment of the team that they have attempted to build, because it was never going to be able to be a team that accommodated him. I've said this a bunch. One of the things, unfortunately, that I have to say they're getting for the money they're paying Metcalf is largely no bitching and moaning like Pickens would have done about not getting the football.
Right, but that's not the number one thing you pay a guy $28 million a year for.
You don't, but I guess I'm not making it clear enough, or people just don't like this line of thinking. I think if they keep him around for this year and have Metcalf, I think the season is probably going worse, believe it or not, because I think it's just a mess in that locker room. I actually do.
Okay, let me subtract one guy, and you tell me if you still think it's a mess. Let's say Aaron Rodgers never shows up here, and it's Mason Rudolph as the quarterback. You still think it's as messy with Pickens and Metcalf, and Rudolph's the quarterback and not Rodgers? Because I don't. Got along with each other.
Yes, because I read off during the break that little stat line from two games of Rudolph's 2023 Pickens was more productive.
Chris, that was an option. I mean, that
Pickens likes any quarterback that is effectively able to get him the ball.
And he can't, and he did. So, I mean, you could absolutely ask a question hypothetically of, would you rather have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback and no George Pickens, or Mason Rudolph as your quarterback and George Pickens and DK Metcalf? And right now, at this very second, I would take the latter. I probably wouldn't have said that back in September with how Rodgers was playing. But right now, I'd rather have that, because I don't think there's a big difference between Rodgers and Rudolph. And I think having two good receivers would make their offense a lot better, even with, I know, Arthur Smith apparently doesn't know how to build an offense with two good wide receivers.
It's a tough answer for me. Because I don't even want to like answer the question. I just want to get frustrated at what an indictment of the head coach I still think all of this is at the end of the day, because of the way he wants to play football, because of the way he wants to run offense, because of the way he wants them to look as a team. but also coupled with the way he thinks he can get the most out of anybody, even if he's minimizing their role.
But that's turning Mike into more of the pariah than Pickens. And when Pickens left here, he was the bad guy. He was the one that got sullied. He was the one that got ripped. And I put my hand in the air saying I was doing it.
I think he is a malcontent. But I also think the head coach enabled him, because we know the head coach did, because when he showed up after the time where they had to post inactives when he was coming off of a hamstring injury and Mike DeFabo actually saw him show up late,
yep,
and then Tomlin got asked about it, he played like the dumbest who, what, where, when, why, how. What are you talking about? Oh, there's a lot going on before game day. I don't really chart player entrance times.
I mean, Papiani's already taken a victory lap on this. He was on the sports call with me last night, and he's like, see, I told you so. They should have kept Pickens. Pickens would have made him that much better.
It's just so weird for me to say,
it a shot.
You're adding back in this unbelievably explosive, volatile compound, let's call it,
yep,
into a team where the head coach seems to allow said volatile compound to do what he wants, with no repercussions, and when anybody asks about that person maybe sullying things, just brushes it off as you guys don't know what you're talking about, and putting him on a demonstrably worse offense that's also not playing, I know this is like granular, on a fast track virtually every game. You put George Pickens on turf, I think he actually looks slightly better than
Donnie,
he does on grass.
Donnie, are you changing your mind on the Pickens trade?
Well, remember where my mind was when it happened.
He didn't want to make the trade
in
anyway.
Celebration mode.
Yeah, he didn't think it was a good deal. I was the only one.
I thought it was a good trade. I was on your side, Chris. It was me and you versus Donnie. The numbers are what they are, and I understand. You're right. He would not be the number two wide receiver in the NFL right now. But Joe said something when I was dropping off Stell at my mother-in-law's that I thought about. He said, I think Pickens is just flat out a better receiver than Metcalf.
He is. I actually agree with that. I think Metcalf is like
a
lower...
And all they got was a third-round pick,
I think
man.
Metcalf's
That's
a lower tier
trade.
Number one. I think Metcalf's a lower tier number
That's
one.
That's not a good trade. If the Steelers had traded a third-round pick in next year's draft, and the guy they got back was the second leading receiver in the NFL, you know what we'd be doing right now? We'd be building Omar Khan statues.
Yep,
is what we'd be saying.
From everybody.
So we can't have it both ways. We can't... Like, if Metcalf were putting up those numbers... We would be, even though the Seahawks are having a good year, we'd be laughing at them for giving him to us for basically nothing. We would.
I mean, so, the other part of this that's relevant to me is if the Steelers, even after having traded Pickens, had merely done a better job of actually finding somebody else to be wide receiver two.
Right, I agree, and that's what makes it a bad trade.
That's precisely why I didn't like it, because I knew they would do the same thing they just did. They would say, well, Calvin Austin just had a nice year. I think if Pickens was still here, as much of a pain in the ass as he could be, he's a little bit better than 22 receptions for 242
I just fundamentally
yards.
Think that this trade and the auspices under which it was conducted and the way it's turned out, I know that Dallas has a losing record, whatever, and they're probably not going to make the playoffs unless they go on a heater.
Yeah.
I think it just exposes so many flaws in the way the Steelers claim that they do business and then actually do
business.
Well,
then, Chris, it is a bad trade. Like, if the Pirates, like, if they got rid of a guy and they couldn't get, you know, like a Tyler Glasnow type, they couldn't get him to pitch, he goes somewhere else. We knew he had talent the entire time. Immediately, that other team unlocks his talent.
Well, yeah,
we would rip the Pirates to shreds
for that.
Of course
we would, and I
rip
the Steelers for having their heads up their asses collectively when it comes to having a modern passing game in the NFL. Instead of investing in the side of the ball that most teams win with at the end of the day,
right,
they keep funneling resources into the defense.
And is the guy an a-hole if he plays in a modern offense? It doesn't look like he would be, because he's really not in Dallas. Like, yes, he commits a stupid penalty. Yes, he got suspended before the game started. But it's like Antonio Brown. If you're the second leading receiver in the NFL and you're doing those things, guess what? I don't really care. Because you're putting up the numbers,
he's
man.
He's in the perfect place for him. He's in a place where he'll never be the biggest character in the franchise, because the owner will be till he drops
and
dead. And he's with a good quarterback.
What I also think is funny in terms of like some of the things Steelers fans have said here, like in the mentions here in the text line, probably on our YouTube chat, and we posted where you can watch us on Twitter too. Well, all the Cowboys do is throw the ball. Not really.
Javonte Williams has 161 carries, man. They have 258 rushing attempts as a team this year.
Compare their rushing stats to ours. They blow the Steelers out of the water, man.
That's because the Steelers run like 40 offensive plays a game because they can't stay on the field, partly because they don't have a wide receiver, too. They traded away what would have been the best wide receiver 1-2 combo maybe in the sport outside of Cincinnati because they couldn't make the guy work within their structure because their structure is completely fraudulent.
Which is making, when you say it that way, I don't see how you support the trade.
Yeah, because I don't support the trade because maybe I just wanted to watch it all burn down, which I think it probably would have.
Do you guys know who their second leading receiver is in yards?
The Steelers?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that it's Darnell Washington at this point somehow.
It is Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah.
A guy we've said has been
79 yards who everybody pretty much threw that first Cincinnati game. Oh, what a disappointment.
I mean, am I clearly stating my point here? I think that this trade probably still had to happen because of what would have happened had they not done it. But I think the fact that they felt compelled like they had to do it exposes so many problems within how they just basically run their operation.
But Chris, if you just said, like, think about what would have happened if they kept them around and he was a complete jerk. If you don't think their offense is good enough now without him, you might as well have kept them just to see if it did open up something.
I guess the case you can make is it would have been worth it to maybe roll the dice, and if it was really getting toxic, you deal them at the deadline.
Yes, which is what I think Dulac said at the combine. That was the rumor he heard. They're not going to trade him, but they might do it in season if it doesn't work. And then they flip-flopped on that, I think, because Aaron Rodgers didn't want to play with him. That's my theory.
Well, Aaron Rodgers better get healthy, stay healthy, and start balling out way harder than he has the last.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora a solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias, detalles en Lowe's.com.
Couple games.
He's a guy that's getting better with exposure, but that's a reasonable expectation. He's a second-year player. He's getting more comfortable within the framework of what we ask him to do. I think the game's slowing down for him. I certainly don't want to speak for him, but it's evident in watching him play.
Mike Tomlin talking up Roman Wilson, who out-snapped Calvin Austin. Good news for Wilson, bad news for Austin, as the Steelers continue to try to find wide receiver two, or as Mike likes to call them, what is it, RECs? Because he wants to lump the tight ends in there.
Yeah. Okay. Cool, Mike.
At 3:24, time to check out the Christmas gift store at Lynch Golf Sales at Pine Creek. George Pickens, number two in the NFL in receiving yards. How does that make you feel as a Steelers fan? He went off again last night.
He's got almost as many receiving yards. I'm just doing the quick back of the napkin math here. He's got very nearly as many as the Steelers, in terms of yardage, next four receivers after Metcalf combined. RECs, Pony, because a couple of them are tight ends and a running back in there.
Here is our buddy Troy in Mount Washington. Hello, Troy. Troy?
Do we have him on the right line?
Yep.
There we go.
Hi, Troy.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Hey.
So, I'll say this. I think it's too early to know if it was a good trade or not, because the reasons we got rid of George Pickens, he's still showing us the same reasons why we got rid of him. I mean, he's had multiple taunting, multiple personal foul plays. He jumped on the goalpost last night after being suspended for the beginning of the game.
Yep.
These are all things that we got rid of him for. There's no one in Pittsburgh, or there shouldn't be anyone in Pittsburgh, that can say out of their mouth, we don't think we would be a better team with George Pickens. That doesn't make sense. That's not what we anticipated when we got rid of him. It was, are we going to pay this guy who has behavioral issues, a long-term contract. And we never wanted to do that, and we weren't ever going to do that. And I don't think, from what he showed us so far just in Dallas in his first year, that that can't be justified. He's showing you that he is still the same person. Yes, their team throws the ball more. Yes, their concepts are a lot different than ours. But yes, our team would be better with George Pickens, but is it a bad trade? No, because anything that's happened with him is what we thought was going to happen with him here. And I
so think then we can't say the DK Metcalf trade is a good trade because we don't know yet because of what happens with him, how productive he is, what becomes of that
DK
pick.
DK Metcalf was never a behavioral issue. DK Metcalf.
But hold on a second. So if you're number I mean, all the things you said about Pickens, I agree with in terms of like the antics and stuff. He's second in the league in receiving yards. Who cares about any of that stuff? When AB was humping goalposts, I didn't care. I did not care.
Maldi made this point to you, and you kind of glossed over it a little bit. He's second in receiving yards because he plays for the Cowboys. He would not be anywhere near that if he played for the Steelers.
Agreed. He'd be much better than Calvin Austin or Roman Wilson, though. And they'd be a better team.
I agree that they'd be a better team, but that does he would be a better team if he was on our team now does not justify that it was a bad trade, because those are not the reasons.
What game
why
do they win, by the way,
him.
Pony? What game do they win that they didn't win if they have Pickens?
Give me the games.
No, okay, they lost to the Seahawks by 2 touchdowns. They lost to the Bengals in a shootout that was a strict.
Yes, I think they win that game.
I mean, they scored 31 points, and their offense didn't have problems moving it. Did they beat Green Bay? They
probably
beat the Chargers?
Not. Probably not.
So you'd say that he is worth one game?
Maybe two. Maybe the Seattle game, because instead of Calvin Austin in there, it's George Pickens. And okay. He doesn't drop a touchdown that turns into an interception.
I mean, I don't think you can guarantee that they would be a better team with him, because he might have already flown off the handle. He's in a place right now where I don't think he cares that they're 4-5-1 and probably going to miss the playoffs. He's in a contract year with a quarterback who can get him the ball, and he's going to put up gobsmacking numbers because of that.
When you say that, I'm just curious, when you say about the quarterback thing, is that your way of indirectly ripping Aaron Rodgers?
My way of it's my way of very directly ripping
Arthur Smith.
It's my way of very directly ripping the Steelers' philosophy. They haven't had a great quarterback since Roethlisberger, really pre-elbow injury. And they have half-assed every attempt or just flat-out screwed up every attempt to find one.
Do you think Dak's a top 10 quarterback?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Do you think Rodgers is a top 20 quarterback?
Somewhere in there.
Okay, so that's not that big of a difference,
It's a pretty
Chris.
Big gulf. The 10th best quarterback is a lot better than the 20th or 18th or 19th best. Dak Prescott, do you put any stock in QBR, which is ESPN's passer rating
sure.
stat? He's leading the league right now. He's leading the NFL.
Yeah, I think he's a good quarterback.
I think he's a very good quarterback, and I think he is a big-time put-up-numbers quarterback, and that is what George Pickens cares about, and that's what that offense tries to do because it has to do it,
I think,
and that is a perfect storm.
I think he's Kirk Cousins with a better PR team, basically, is what I think he is. Before Cousins got too old and he was throwing 30 touchdowns every year. Do I want him in a big game? Absolutely not. Not even close.
My point is very simple. For what George Pickens wants, get me the effing ball, let me put up numbers. He is one of the perfect guys in the league for that. Here it would be, hey, you're going to get 6 targets, hopefully 3 or 4 catches. Hopefully you can make a huge play. By the way, we're going to run
Chris,
the ball
Chris, we're
a
never going to win anything then here again. Because,
which is my point, because okay. I think that it's an ass-backwards approach to everything. Mike brings guys in like George Pickens who clearly want and need the ball and thinks he can just sprinkle voodoo dust over them and get them to fall in line.
But because the system's broken, that shouldn't justify getting rid of good players.
No, it should justify changing the system, but they're never going to do that. My entire point here has been this is nothing. This is like more than anything an indictment of how they try to do business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas de DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12-3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.
Like, if Slay is healthy, does he step back in as a starter, or will you stick with Pierre?
Yeah, he steps back in and plays. Certainly, we're certainly going to continue to play James. He's deserving of that, but if healthy, Slay is going to play.
You can't count on much these days, including your head coach playing his best players. We can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off juicy Week 12 matchups. The big one here in Pittsburgh, Steelers and Bears. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Donnie's Tomlin tidbit. James Pierre will lose his job when Darius Slay is healthy because, as the old saying goes, you can't lose your job to injury.
Except when you can and do.
Except
like Tommy
when
Maddox
you're Tommy
did.
Maddox, yes.
And other people. Wally Pipp. Did Pipp ask for a day off? Was that his problem? Can you imagine being that SOB and saying, hey, could I just get one day and then you're done? Tommy Maddox lost his job to injury. I'm not saying James Pierre is Ben Roethlisberger because he's not, but man, I thought that was a remarkably swift answer from Tomlin.
Well, there's more on this, where that came from. Tomlin asked a question about why Pierre has such good stats. And this was his response.
He's done a nice job. But again, usually when you're a backup, man, you get targets. And so when you get targets, you generally get breakups. We have not been displeased with his efforts. We've been quite pleased with his efforts. We're certainly interested in continuing to use him as we move forward.
All right. I think that's a horse crap answer, first off. And he's played well and he's getting targeted because he's a backup, yes, but he's allowing a 52.6 passer rating against this year.
Uh-huh.
When Darius Slay has been targeted, and he's been targeted 40 times, the opposing team has a 108 passer rating against. James Pierre, just for argument's sake here, has been targeted 23 times. So just over half the number of targets. And he's allowed one-third the number of completions for far less yardage. Mike is a guy who just adores veterans. And he cannot bring himself to say that a guy he helped bring in here because he thought he could help them man up on great receivers, has turned into a pumpkin at the age where many cornerbacks have stopped playing football.
It does sound a little bit like one of the things you said about Mason Rudolph, though, earlier in the show, like Mike is assuming that water is going to find its level with Pierre.
It might, but water already found its level and flooded Darius Slay. He's drowning out there.
Well, it didn't stop there because Chris Carter was not thrilled.
Matt Not Presto on the YouTube channel, by the way, says, come on, big play Slay. He isn't lying. Just target him and you'll get one. I like that.
Chris Carter wasn't having it from Tomlin, The man who catches touchdowns and writes for the Post-Gazette. So at about the 27-minute mark of the press conference, he decided to get at Mike with this.
How do you balance playing experienced players versus playing hot players, like in the case of Pierre and Slay, where Pierre is breaking up a lot of the passes? And I know it's because he's getting those targets, but overall he is playing at a high level, balancing using that hot hand versus bringing in the experienced guy.
What's your question?
How do you balance that as a coach, making that decision as far as who to use?
Thoughtfully.
Completely fair question, because Mike had also given a response about Gainwell and Warren and about why Warren came out there, then went right back to the bench at the end of the third and beginning of the fourth and said we were playing the hot hand. He gave a real answer. He hates Chris Carter. Chris asked a completely fair question. Mike sloughed it off because he is the emperor who is not beholden to answering anything he doesn't want to answer.
No offense to Chris. I think it was a little wordy.
It is a little wordy. He should have just asked it the second way the first time.
I would have just asked straight up, why Slay over Pierre when both are healthy? That's it. That's all I would have said.
Why do you think sometimes people don't ask it that bluntly? I think Ashley Liotis does, and it almost always catches Mike flat-footed, and he just answers usually.
I don't know.
I think you've got to take a more... I think the head coach does not like the local media, by and large, as a broad swath.
Think?
I think they should take a much more adversarial approach with him. And that doesn't mean you have to ask openly hostile questions, but you don't have to set it up with, here's my reasoning. Exactly what you said. Hey, Mike, why James Pierre getting bent? Why when it's Pierre and Slay both healthy, is it going to be Slay?
Yep.
That's it. Make him answer it. If he gives you a horse crap answer, there you go.
Donnie, why did you choose this for your Tomlin tidbit?
I thought it was a horrible answer, and I thought his collection of answers on the topic were horrible.
Man, we really turned James Pierre, though, into our patron saint.
I don't think James Pierre's
the guy,
like...
The guy has taken advantage of an opportunity, and he's played pretty well.
Yeah, I
mean,
I agree.
He brings up the point, like, well, he's a backup. He's going to get targeted.
It's way more about Darius Slay.
Here's an idea, or here's a thought. Darius Slay is now old, and when you're an old corner, you're going to get targeted.
Yeah, whatever.
And when you're an old corner that gets targeted, you're going to get toasted, and he has.
Whatever happened to football justice and football meritocracy and all these things that occasionally, when it fits his agenda, Tomlin likes to bring up?
You just said it. He brings it up only when it fits his agenda, and clearly it doesn't here. The only thing I'm a little bit surprised by is he usually loves guys that try hard and like grind their way onto a roster and stay there, and Pierre has absolutely done that. In fact, he kind of sang his praises before this game.
Yep.
About all that. But you know what he really loves? Veterans with a baseball card.
That was your Tomlin tidbit.
Why am I getting so agitated about him today?
You're in one of those moods. You came in like that, but I like that sometimes.
I mean,
I like snippy Malsy.
Sometimes I would like to be in that room. We're always getting ready for the show, because I think I would today on a day where I'm just in this kind of mood, said, hey, Mike, exactly as you asked it, and then made him give me some snippy answer.
I always thought Starkey asked great questions at Tomlin press conferences.
Joe asks great questions. We give Joe a hard time and make fun of him sometimes and have fun at his expense. Joe always asks extremely blunt questions, particularly when he goes into honey badger mode and he feels like the person he's interviewing is like disrespecting him.
Oh, yeah.
He'd have gone in there and said, hey, Mike, the numbers suggest James Pierre is a much better player than Darius Slay this year. Why is Darius Slay getting his job back? I don't know. I say what I want, and you guys just have to eat the crap sandwich I feed you every Tuesday.
Here's Emmanuel in Carnegie. Hello, Emmanuel.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure, man.
Yeah, first of all, I think, regarding the last caller, I think if a player makes your team better, there's no reason you should trade him. So right there, I think that's a bad assessment. As for George Pickens, I think that he's more trouble than his worth. You could talk about different schemes. You know, that's true. But I got a little hypothetical to ask y'all. If you swap our eligible receivers, put them on Dallas, do you not think that Jonnu Smith, who had almost 900 yards receiving, we have only 132 yards through 10 games of the season. Like, our offense is playing closest to the best. The Dallas Cowboys offense, they're playing run and gun. They're playing as if they're down 30 points every game because they know that they don't have a defense. So it's a whole different scheme.
I understand that, but one of the reasons why they're able to do that effectively is because they have two really good wide receivers. The reason why that offense works for them is because they do have a good point guard in Dak Prescott. And they've got two guys who play off each other and force defenses to pick their poison. And we could have had that here.
They were also, though, putting up points when they only had one of those guys healthy. I mean, I think Dak is a major reason for this. I think that's just a much better and more complex, I guess, and thoughtful passing scheme. They have a better offensive line. They're able to run the ball effectively.
Because I think Aaron Rodgers has made it abundantly clear that he thinks the DK Metcalf issue and the offensive issue, in large part, is because they don't have talent at wide receiver outside of Metcalf to keep defenses honest. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
And yet, I think he was the guy that was the impetus for Pickens getting traded. Like, if
I don't want to throw to that guy.
I don't want to deal with
him. I don't want to deal with the headache.
Right. So, I mean, he could have tried to make it work, but
he didn't want to.
I don't think he wanted to.
He didn't want what is probably going to be his last season in the NFL to be spent trying to massage the ego of a player he didn't want to deal with.
And that's why I think Tomlin and the Steelers did a 180 on, oh yeah, we're going to manage these two guys and there's no reason why it can't work. And then when they were 100% sure they were going to get Aaron Rodgers, they traded George
Pickens.
Which
means Aaron Rodgers better be unbelievably worth the investment and the kind of self-created headache or roster hole. But guess what? Probably won't be.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. We'll see what happens here.
I'm still mad about just like the inherent arrogance and what you're all seeing isn't actually real with the Pierre and Slay answer. Just such empty garbage.
I was surprised that Mike made it so cut and dried.
He said Pierre will still play. What is that, when Slay goes down with his latest injury?
I thought he was going to give his boilerplate, like, you know, I'm not going to deal with hypotheticals. We'll see what happens.
No, Darius Slay's a veteran who has, past tense, been good. So he gets his job back. I mean, I'm just going for all-out hostility today. Mike deserves to have Slay get burnt on the first possession by somebody in one-on-one coverage, where maybe you could squint and say Pierre would have done better. He deserves to be down 7-0 because of his hubris.
I really thought he was going to give that just coach speak answer, and that was going to be code for, I don't want to say anything that denigrates Slay, but if you read between the lines, I'm going to play Pierre.
He did that with Slay earlier in the year when Slay had a really bad game. He basically said the closest thing he would say to burying a guy, which is, yeah, he left some plays out there. What has Darius Slay done that would like suggest that he's earned his way back into Mike's good graces?
Nothing.
Existed and been 34 years old. Cool.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas de DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3 hasta agotar existencias. Selección varía por lugar.